look at the Bible, you know, why does the Bible tell us not to worry? You know, Matthew chapter 6, verse 27 says, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? Huh? You know, by worrying, you know, did you get healthier? By worrying, you know, is your life more joyful? By worrying, is the relationship better? Huh? By worrying, can you add a single hour to your life? Huh? There are so many things to worry about, you know, especially in the East Coast here. You know, job, money, health, you know, relationship, you know, what we eat, what we shouldn't eat. It's getting ridiculous now, you know. Anyway. You know, what the devil's doing, the loss, and what we have to all worry about is death. Yeah? We worry about what we don't have. We worry because we compare ourselves to other people. We worry about pleasing people. We worry about being liked. Worry about criticism. You know, you hear gossip and you worry about the gossip. But what the Bible is saying, worrying will not help you. It's not going to help you. When you worry, it always exaggerates the problem. It makes the problem bigger. Right? It makes it bigger. Worrying doesn't change anything for the better. It can't make you taller. You know, it can't make you prettier. You know, it can't make you happier. It won't make you live longer. Right? It can't change your past. Worrying doesn't help you. All it does is it makes every day more miserable. Right? It just makes every day more miserable. You know, worrying is not healthy. You know, doctors will tell you because of stress and anxiety and worrying, it just decreases our immunity. You know, this is why when I worry, when I get stressed, when I get anxious, my back goes out. Huh? My back goes out, you can say, oh, Pastor Sam is very stressed. Okay? That's when you catch a cold. That's when you have problem with your digestion. You feel bloated. You get acid all those digestive issues. Huh? When you worry and when you get stressed, when you get anxious, your cortisol level goes up. It increases inflammation. You know, this is my pharmacy major coming out. You know, increases blood pressure, makes your whole body go wacky. Okay? It's not healthy. So we can't get rid of it, but what the Bible's saying is, all right, don't be anxious. You got to fight it. You got to continuously fight it. All right? And replace it says, with prayer. Okay? Don't be anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition, present your request to God. Okay? And you see, what you need to do, we get stressed, we're anxious, okay? There's a lot of problems. You need to release your stress to the Lord. Okay? You need to release, that's prayer. Release your stress to the Lord. There are things that you cannot control. There are things you don't know what to do. Instead of panicking, you and I need to pray. You need to stop talking to yourself. You know, when you worry, when I worry, I talk to myself a lot, Instead of talking to yourself, you need to talk with God. Worry less and ask more. Okay? If it's not worth praying about, then it's not worth worrying about it. Okay? So Romans chapter 8, verse 32, this is what the Bible says. Okay? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Okay? Graciously give us all things. What's the biggest problem and challenge that we can ever face? Okay? You know what that greatest problem and challenge? It's the problem and consequences of sin. Okay? And Jesus solved the biggest problem in our life by dying on the cross and paying the penalty for our sin. And so this what this pastor is saying, okay, let's think about this. If he loved you enough to die on the cross for you, if Jesus solved the greatest problem that you can, no human being could solve, don't you think he cares? Right? This is what the Bible's saying. Don't you think he cares about your finance? Say yes. Right? He cares about your finance. No, he doesn't. You don't know. I'm so stressed. No, you're being stressed about it. Stop being stressed about it. He cares about your finance. Right? He cares about your needs, your provision, your physical, emotional, mental, relational needs. He cares about it. God cares about every area of your life. God's not just interested in getting you into heaven. Huh? He cares. That's why that passage in Matthew that talks about do not worry, don't get anxious. Look at the birds. God feeds them. Look at the lily, the flowers, how beautiful they are. That you just pick and just throw away. If God cares about a bird, if God cares about how the flower looks, how much more does he care about you? So don't worry. Amen? Number two. Okay, do not be anxious, but in every situation be thankful. Say that to your neighbor. So in this passage it says, in every situation pray. Okay, that's one of the ways to overcome anxiety. And in every situation be thankful. Okay, instead of worrying, don't let that become a habit. It's not a good habit for Christians. When you're all stressed and anxious and, you know, worrying a lot, that's not a good habit. But there's a Christian habit that we need to develop. Okay? Don't become an expert at worrying, but become an expert at being thankful. Okay? A Christian's habit is thankfulness. That's why in the Bible, when you look at the teachings on being thankful, it says, be thankful in all circumstances. Continuously be thankful. I thank God for everything. Huh? More grateful, healthier you will become. Spiritually, mentally, emotionally. More thankful you are, the doctors will tell you, you will become even healthier physically. More grateful, you will live longer. Which, you know, if you have a lot of money, you know, and have everything, if you're not grateful, your life will be miserable. Ungrateful people are unhappy people. You know, I did a lot of missions work, especially in third world, like in Africa, South Asia, you know, in farmland in China. And, you know, I even worked with people where their average salary was $30 a month. You know what the study says? If you make, I think, $32,000 or $36,000 a year, huh? If you make $36,000 a year, more than that, or $32,000 more, I forgot which one it was, 32 or 36, okay? You are 1% of the world. You are 1%. You know, well, you know, we live in America, and so 1% are those billionaires. No, no, of the world, you are 1%. Right? But I met people who make $30 a month and they're so thankful and they're grateful and they're joyful and they're happy. Right? In America, we die from stress. Right? And in those countries, it's from, you know, disease, you know, because of the water and stuff. But it's not stress. They're thankful. Thankful heart is a remedy for depression. To me, thankfulness is, this is what God's telling me, thankfulness is a spiritual, healthy spiritual Prozac, you know. It takes your eyes, when you start to be thankful, it takes your eye away from what you are doing, what others are doing, what the devil is doing, and focus on what God is doing. When, you know, and when it says in every situation be thankful, okay, that I don't think that what it means is be thankful about evil though. Okay? That's not what it means. When be thankful in all things, I don't see, I'm not thankful about cancer. Come on. Who's thankful about cancer? I'm not thankful about cancer. I'm not thankful about broken relationships. I'm not thankful about rejection, sin. I'm not thankful about lies. I'm not thankful about what the devil's doing. Do I hear an amen? I think a lot of you come from like Calvinistic, you know, churches. So. You know? No, I'm not thankful about those things. Don't be thankful for evil things, but you can be thankful in it. Okay, what do I mean? How can you be thankful in it? In your life, there are bad things happening and there are good things happening. Okay? No one can say, no one can say, 100% bad. It's just 100% bad. No. Okay, it might be really bad. You're 99%, but there's still 1%. You can look, and there'll be 1% something good. Most of you is like a lot of good things, but you're only thinking of that one bad thing that's happening in your life. Or two bad things. Huh? It's like a railroad track. Think about a railroad track. One track, bad things. The other track, parallel track, is good things. And it goes up and down the mountain and is going through life. Huh? There's always something bad happening because we live in a broken world, but there's also something good that's going on in your life. Okay? There's also something good going on in your life. And so you got to be thankful about what God is doing, what good things that God is doing. And I'm going to share with you this. I see this all the time. There are two people in the exact same situation. One gets all stressed out and one's happy. Okay? Like when you ride a roller coaster, okay? When you ride a roller coaster, one is laughing and screaming, "Ah, this is great! Let's go back!" You know, and the other one's all stressed out. You know why? Same situation, two people sitting next to each other on a roller coaster, same time. Okay, one is thinking the wheel's gonna come off and we're gonna die. Right? The other person is trusting the wheel's not going to come off. Everything's going to be okay. Right? You know, Chuck E. Cheese's. Parents, have you taken your kids to Chuck E. Cheese? Okay. What happens when Chuck E. comes out, that big rat? Yeah? What happens when Chuck E. comes out? You know what happens. Huh? One child gets all stressed, you know, cries, and parents is trying to take the child to Chucky. Ah, he's falling, trying to get away from Chucky, right? Another child sees Chucky, he gets smiling, runs to Chucky, hugs Chucky, kisses Chucky, right? What's wrong? Well, one child thinks Chucky's going to eat him. Same situation, same time. The other child said, "This Chucky's so cute. Look at that cute rat." How does that happen? In all situations, you can make a choice. What you focus on. You can make a choice what you're going to focus on. Okay? And Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, you choose to think about those things. That's being thankful. Okay? You can choose evil things. You could dwell on it, depressing thought, negative things. or whatever you're going through. I'm not minimizing what you're going through. You're going through a difficult time. And what God is asking you to do is make this choice to be thankful. Okay? And what should you be thankful for? Spiritually think about this. Really think about it. Ask for discernment. What is true in your life? What is noble in your life? What's some of the things that's noble? What's some of the things that's right now about your life? You know, not all this more the dirty things and impure. Think about what is pure right now. What is lovely? What is admirable? What is excellent and praiseworthy? And you make a choice. I'm going to think about those things. You're being thankful now. Amen? Number 3. Okay, thankfulness guards your hearts, and got cut off, and minds, okay, from my computer. Yeah, thankfulness guards your hearts and mind. That's what the Bible says. Okay? Thankfulness will guard your hearts and mind. That word, guard your heart and mind. What did we teach here in Catalyst? Spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare happens in your heart, in your mind, in your emotion, inside, in your soul. That's where that's the unseen. Spiritual battle happens there. And you know what the Bible says? It's not rebuking the demons that will guard your heart. Okay, it's not identifying the demons that will guard your heart. It's not going to a deliverance, a meeting that's going to guard your heart. This passage says thankfulness will guard your heart. Okay? Right? Some of the reason the devil's infiltrating into your heart and in your mind with lies and into your home and into our church is maybe we cease to be thankful. Okay? Psalm 104 says this, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Say that to your neighbor. You know, Thanksgiving, I'm just going to be honest, you know, it's a joyful season, but it's also a very lonely season. You know, this time, it's lonely. Many of you, I believe this, you're going to see your family, right? And some of you are dreading this. You got that crazy uncle, there's all this father issue, mother issue, in-law issues, rejection, abandonment, abuse and neglect, that gets stirred, when you're, Thanksgiving. And for many, it's also a very lonely time. Okay? Thanksgiving's a lonely time. I know a holiday's supposed to be happy, but honestly, there is, for many, it's a time of spiritual battle. Thanksgiving and Christmas is a time of spiritual battle. And Psalm 100, verse 4 says, now, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. It's saying there's this place that you could go into, this gate. This is a castle, God's home, God's presence, God's throne. Okay? And you enter God's castle with thanksgiving. Okay? So there's an entry point to this fortified city, a place where there's protection, okay, from attacks. If you're outside of a castle and the enemy comes, you're dead. Okay? So that's why they all go into the castle and lock, into the gate and for protection. It's a place where you could fight back. Don't go out in the open and fight the enemy. Go into God's house, his castle, the wall, protection, and you could fight the enemy there. How do you get into that castle, God's castle? With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Being thankful is the most powerful choice you can make. Hello? No. Okay. Amen, amen. I thought I convinced you by now. Okay. It's the most powerful choice that you can make. When you go through spiritual attack, head toward God's gate. And before you meet your families, your parents, your mom, your dad, you know, your crazy uncle, start being thankful. Start being thankful. Protect your family by being thankful. Be thankful about your marriage. Your child. You know, if you're a parent, you have a child, and you just see what's wrong with that child, what that child cannot do, all the mistakes that the child make, that child will be spiritually attacked. But if you are thankful, you can see that this child is created and made in the image of God. You can see the strength, the talents, how God shaped that person. And you appreciate the personality. You know, that child will be victorious. Will be victorious. It's not just information about the child. You're thankful about their gift. Not use the gift so that they make a lot of money for you, you know, in the future. Get a good job so you feel proud. No. You're thankful about their gift. Right? And it will be a strength for your child. It'll be a strength. Offering thanksgiving gets your focus away from demon, and you start to see from God's perspective with thanksgiving instead of from your flesh becoming stronger. When you offer thanksgiving, your spirit gains strength. Thankfulness agrees and gives power to the truth. To the truth. Right? Worry and stress and anxiety give power to lies. Right? You know, when a child is not thankful, they're not thankful about the food on the table, the clothes that they're wearing, the education that they're getting, they're not thankful about their church, their friends, family, you know, what happens? They do not understand the parent's heart. You know, you moms, you love your child, and you cook this delicious meal, you know, and then you give it to them, and because you love them, right? You love them. Well, if they're not thankful, I want a macaroni and cheese. You know, I didn't want like curry, or something like that. I don't know. They do not understand the parent's heart, the parent's sacrifice, parent's love when a child's not thankful. And they start to not be thankful about more and more and more things. When you're a Christian and you're not thankful, you can't see that God is good, that God loves you. You know, let's enter his gates with thanksgiving. Meaning, let's make a choice to be thankful. Paul teaches in the Bible, you know, Ephesians 1, he says, I have not stopped giving thanks. Okay? Ephesians 5, always give thanks for everything. 1 Thessalonians 5, give thanks in all circumstances. Philippians 4, in every situation, pray and give thanks. And Apostle Paul wrote this in midst of severe trial, when he was being spiritually attacked, when he was being rejected, when he was in prison, when he went through, you know, can you imagine? He was whipped, he was put in prison, went through shipwreck, he was bit by a poisonous snake. Trial after trial after trial, but in his epistle, he keeps saying, when it comes to Thanksgiving, always be thankful. Be thankful in all circumstances. And I believe it's because he realized being thankful helped him to overcome. It helped him to overcome. An important biblical view of thanksgiving. Thankfulness is up to me. It is a choice that I make. Thankfulness doesn't go up and down with circumstances. I choose to be thankful. Say that to your neighbor. I choose to be thankful. Amen. Let's pray.